Have you heard the news? Basic Folk is now an official production of The Bluegrass Situation. We're leveling up on our folk pod game with our besties at BGS with a new logo, theme song, and a brand new attitude.
That's right, except I have the same bad attitude as last year. And our honest conversations with folk musicians continue to dignify under-the-radar roots musicians.
2025 is off to a great start with episodes featuring Jerry Douglas.
Every 15 to 20 years in bluegrass music, there is a renaissance period, and I believe we're in one right now.
Lou Tallo.
The act of writing and creativity is my meditation practice.
And Carolyn Kendrick.
The most important thing is, like, how do we try to mitigate harm?
Find us where you get your shows or at thebluegrasssituation.com. Thanks for listening, and welcome to Basic Folk.
Hello, my name is Olivia Harding, and I am the host of Folk Files, a podcast that explores the tangled history of folk songs. Every month, I choose a topic to dive into for about 20 to 30 minutes. The subject of each episode could be a song. In the case of Shady Grove, a lot of people believe that it is a later version of the English folk song Matty Groves, but it's not that simple. A general topic. The main theme that I saw while researching folk songs about birds from all over the world is that many of them include nonsense syllables meant to represent the bird songs.
Or a question that I want to answer. There has never been any real question that Black people were central to the development of this musical style. So why do we still picture white men hauling on the rope when we think of sea shanties? Folk Files is available everywhere you listen to podcasts. Press play and join me on a journey through the origins of murder ballads, sea shanties, rebel songs, and other music that has withstood the test of time.
Welcome to Lizzie and Cindy's Fitness Wellness Advice Zone, also known as Basic Folk,
where we have honest conversations with folk musicians on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network.
It feels good to hear that. Does it feel good to say it?
Yeah.
The Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. Let's go. 2025. New sponsor.
If you would like to sponsor us, please contact the Bluegrass Situation. There is a link in the show notes. I'm Cindy here with Lizzie. We have Lily Hyatt on the podcast today, a very Lila's situation.
Oh, big Lilas energy on this episode, let me tell you.
And as a reminder, if you are not aware, Lilas means love you like a sister. Lilas, bringing it back. Before we get into that, let's talk about our mailing list. Are you on our mailing list?
I am. Are you?
I am, yeah. I get emails from myself once a month, and you can too. You can sign up for the link in the show notes, or you can go to basicvote.com to do so.
I was just going to say that pretty much everyone I love and respect and consider cool is a subscriber to the Basic Folk mailing list. And I don't want to say it's a one-to-one correlation of, like, if you want to be considered cool by me, Lizzie, no, you do need to subscribe to the Basic Folk mailing list. But I guess I am implying that you need to subscribe in order to be my friend.
Lizzie, I signed Basic Folk up for Blue Sky Social.
Okay, and how's that going? I'm confused by what that is, but I'm curious about joining.
It looks like old school Twitter.
I miss old school Twitter.
We're on Facebook, Instagram for now, TikTok, YouTube, and Blue Sky Social. We are at Basic Folk Pod. You can find a link in the show notes if you want to follow us on social media. We're also a listener-supported podcast, and you can make a contribution. Give $5 a month, get a Basic Folk beanie handmade by my mom, featuring our brand new Basic Folk logo that we debuted earlier this year. Lizzie, what is happening?
Okay, I think that it's so brave of us to try to navigate this increasingly dystopian world of different social media apps and platforms. And, like, listeners may be wondering why we're saying we're on Instagram for now. And I think it's because, like, beyond being podcasters and people that are trying to promote our work, we're also just, like, human beings in America trying to make good and ethical decisions about how to engage with, you know, capitalist media. And we're realizing that more and more of these social platforms that we use to express ourselves and share our stories are owned by the same, like, three corporations And so it's up to us to figure out, like, okay, can I engage with this ethically? Is this still a good platform for sharing music? Is it just going to be right-wing trolls? Like, we are along for the ride along with the rest of the nation. So we appreciate y'all following us on all these different platforms. So as we figure out how to keep sharing our stories in this weird, wild world that we're in. Because there was a time when it felt like, oh, Twitter's like a cool place to share stories and talk about politics and talk about music and talk about art. And then it's like, oh, now it's all just right-wing bullies. Okay, where do we go next?
Feels like that Bob Dylan song is pretty relevant.
Which one?
Lay Lady Lay.
Lay Lady Lay feels very, that one feels very, very relevant right now because it's, don't you just feel so tired? Like, January has been 6 years long. And I would like to lay, lady, lay my ass down.
Yeah. Are you ready to talk about Lily Hyatt?
I really am. And to introduce this episode, which I'm really excited about, I need to take our listeners back 8 years ago to 2017. I was like, I had freshly gone solo. I was working on promoting my very first album, Hard Won. And in those days, there were a lot of long drives to shows where I was paid very small amounts of money, if any money. But it was all terribly exciting and new. And I was fascinated by this, like, rapidly growing scene of really cool alternative country and folk and rock songwriters out of Tennessee. I was listening to artists like Sierra Hull, Lily Hyatt, Sunny War, Molly Tuttle, Michaela Ann, Caroline Spence, right? Like, there are so many cool, Sarah Shook and the Disarmers out of North Carolina at the time. Like, to be a young woman songwriter coming out in that time period between like 2015 through 2020 was like really, really inspiring. And Lily Hyatt is one of the voices that I found to be like most inspiring. She has such an interesting way of working melodies. She has such a down-to-earth way of telling stories about her life and about how she sees the world. And all of her albums have like these really cool, crunchy bitchin' guitar parts that kind of take the folk songwriting to a new rock and roll level. So she's been a role model for me for a long, long time. And it has been kind of unreal, pinch me vibes to have moved to Nashville and become friends with Lily. And I think you can hear in the interview just how much mutual respect and admiration we have for each other and how much belief we have in one another, not only as songwriters, but as women and as people who are in recovery. So Lily is just like a very inspiring artist to me. And we had a very fun conversation, very Lila's vibes, lots of laughs. We talked about like the lessons that she learned growing up, the daughter of legendary songwriter John Hyatt, and like what it meant to her to see her dad go through the ups and downs of the music business and having the humility to keep going and having the self-belief to keep going. And like what those main lessons were for her, as well as like how she's thinking about herself as a performer and how that's changed since the pandemic. Because she had a couple of really big records before the pandemic and like a lot of hype and attention on her as a performing artist, and then had to sit in the house and like ask the big questions like a lot of us did, and like feel the loneliness and feel the alienation and feel the uncertainty, and grapple with how am I going to keep my mental health stable to keep going in this work. So it's like a fun conversation. It's a deep conversation. Lily has a really, really cool new album coming out that we're talking about, called Forever. And it touches on everything from relationships to anxiety and mental health to just rock and roll vibes. So that's all I have to say about Lily Hyatt. That's fit to print.
And if you haven't listened to Lily's dad on Basic Folk, our interview with John Hyatt, it was a couple of years ago, but it's really worth digging up. Maybe we'll like reshare it in the feed.
I would love that because they're so close. Like they're so sweet about each other, and they've done like numerous collaborations. I think it's so cool to see her like in the lineage of the John Hyatt folk songwriter universe.
Let's take a listen to a song from Lily's new album. This is the song Thoughts, and then we'll get to Lily Hyatt on Basic Folk.
Thoughts.
freaking Hyatt. My hero, my Shiro, my friend, my comrade.
We are friends.
I am so excited to finally be doing your official Basic Folk interview because I've loved your music for so many years and you since we became friends recently.
Thank you. That means so much. And likewise, I've thought you were cool from afar for a long time. So it's cool that we're friends.
I'm glad we got that on the record.
Yeah, we're friends.
Okay. On to official matters.
Okay.
I want to start broad before we get into your amazing new album.
Okay.
Because we're here on Basic Folk. You can interpret this question however you want.
Okay.
Just like what comes to mind first. What is your definition of folk music?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I like to dive into like, what's the arena that we're in before we get specific?
Absolutely. That's so cool. To me, folk music is just, honestly, it's a story told through song that lasts over time. That's kind of folk to me.
Done and dusted. Now, do you consider yourself a folk artist? Or is it like, sometimes I'm a folk artist, sometimes I'm a rock artist? Like, do you hold the label folk artist?
I think at my very core, that's what I am probably most, but it's never something I answer people with when they ask what kind of music I do, because I know people who are like true folkies and I'm like, I'm not really that, but yeah, I feel folky. I come from folky people too, so.
You really do. You come from like a storied lineage of folk artists and like people in your family that are interested in art and interested in like telling stories about the world. And like from an early age, you saw an example right in your own house. Your dad is a legendary singer-songwriter. What lessons did you learn from your dad about what it means to be a working songwriter? Like, what was your impression of like dad's job?
Well, my impression of his job is that he just kept at it and dedicated so much of himself to it. I saw many phone calls as a kid, you know, happen. So you pick up on the ups and downs of things. So you kind of start to understand like, oh, this isn't like a straight line, like it's got highs and lows, you know, I saw that, but the lows were never like horribly low because he never let them be that, you know, I feel he always figured a way to, you know, find a new home if it was like the label or find a new manager if it was the manager, you know, so he kept it up. He kept it up. So I was like, I better, you know, and other than that, like just had, you know, loves songs, loves music. So that was a big part of things. So,
right. Like keeping the focus on the songs instead of like the external accolades.
Yeah, totally. While also stoking those fires constantly, though, and maintaining the business side of stuff, which I think is a really tricky side of stuff. So
it really is,
you know, so yeah, we all know anybody in this line of work. It's like, it's not cut and dry at all. And there are no guarantees, you know, so
like at all,
in this
economy, guarantees,
they don't exist unless they're in a contract from an agent that says, this is your guarantee.
Yeah.
Okay.
We love those.
Yeah. Those are the best. I'm like, I'll be there. But
so you broke out as a stellar singer-songwriter in your own right with what I think a lot of people describe Trinity Lane as your breakout album. What were your first impressions of like being a badass touring artist? Like, what did the job feel like to you when you really started to gain momentum in your own right as a songwriter? Yeah, like what were your first impressions of like what your career was going to be when you had your big breakout album?
Well, you're so sweet to ask this stuff. And just as my friend, I'm like, oh, like, thanks for your time to like, let like focus on this stuff with me. It's so giving because you're such an amazing artist that I deeply admire. So I'm like, I want to know this about you too. But,
well, I can just to pause and say like in 2017, when that album came out, like I was just getting ready to release my first album. And like, you know what it's like when you're doing the solo songwriter thing, you're on your own, maybe with a friend or two, you're doing long drives, your profit margins are very thin. But you have this fire in you of like, I'm just getting started. I've got my whole life ahead of me. There's so many cities I'm going to see. And on all of those drives, I played Trinity Lane. Like that record, like on the hardest nights of tour, like the song Records would always like keep me going, like if I had a long drive. So like, it's really personal to me, that record. And like watching the way that you've grown as an artist has felt like, oh, my team's winning since those early days.
Oh, that means.
So that's where I'm coming from, like talking about your records.
Well, thank you for saying that so much. And it's cool to hear because honestly, like, I didn't really. So when Trinity Lane came out, I knew when we made it that it was cool. I was like, I mean, not even in terms of like, it's going to be perceived as cool. I was just like, that felt amazing. That was a really special time. I'm sure of that. And then when, you know, the touring of that was not, it's kind of interesting. Like, it didn't feel like, oh, it's this massive breakout for me. Things have changed so much. It was still a very gradual, like, accumulation over time. So, but then over time you start to hear from people and they're like, that record is what got me into you. So it did open the doors into, like, I feel like my name being considered for stuff and people like artists I admire and folks I admire that just telling me what it means to them, which is awesome. That's like a big dream, but it's not like I'm like, you know, it wasn't like Trinity Lane that like helped me buy a house. It was like years and years of like working for, you know what I mean? So I don't mean to equate it with money, but I wasn't like, oh, my whole lifestyle changed. Like I still lived in the same like shitty apartment afterwards, but things got better and better.
Yeah. And I appreciate hearing that perspective because I think sometimes from the outside, it looks linear, right? It's like young artist has like big breakout album. People are, you know, you're hearing the singles on the radio. It must be like they're suddenly living the dream. But like the more artists I get to know, especially like in this indie scene in Nashville, it's like a couple steps forward, a couple steps back. You get a sync here, you get a big tour there, then you're, you know, sitting in the house waiting for the phone to ring. I want to talk about this like kind of transition time, touring records like, you know, Trinity Lane, Walking Proof, and then the pandemic hits and you're still an artist, you're still making records. But from your bio and from knowing you as a person, it seems like there was a shift in energy towards like what you felt capable of doing in terms of touring, writing, sharing of yourself. What was that period like for you? And like, how are you different now as a performer since the pandemic?
Yeah, well, and I know we all went through, I mean, what a time we all went through. I know it changed a lot of people. And for me, I think that just right before the pandemic, I was like, I'm really ready to like kind of put out there myself out there again, go for it again. But I was also tired because, as you know, like touring an album and the way I tour it and the way I would imagine you tour, I'm not sure the ins and outs, but it's in a van. We drive ourselves. We do a lot of the work ourselves, you know,
even when I've seen your live show, like you're a very physical rock performer. Like it's not just like as if you were like reading the songs off of a book of like a sheet of paper. Like you are all in these performances.
That is very true. And I'm glad that you see that. I am. And we all are in my crew. So it's like, you know, it's exhausting in its own way, but in an exhilarating way, it's fun. So anyway, I was, you know, gathering myself back up and then the pandemic hit and it's like, I'm making all these videos. I'm like what we all did, trying to just promote, you know, through just limited access to everything kind of beyond the internet, you know, and getting really fucked up from all that. And like, had a really, you know, I was in a relationship and it ended and that was, and then I was incredibly lonely. And then I met my husband, you know, about 6 months later. And I was so grateful to just be with somebody and have some human connection. It's not that I didn't care about my music. I was actually in the middle of making a record when I met him. But when it came time to like really plug and push my album lately, I was so sad and depressed. And I was just like, I don't want to be this person. Like I did it. And we went on a tour and like, honestly, the weird thing is like the tours of this kind of murky last few years have been going better than any of my headlining stuff for the Trinity Lane. But it's kind of, yeah, but it's like,
what do you attribute that to?
Just time and keeping it up. Mm. Like I have some really, really loyal fans, you know, like some diehards, and they tell their friends. And I mean, I count on my fans for a lot. And so it's like, and I know a lot of us do, like in our folk rock world, you know, it's like, I'm sure you do too. And it's like these people,
if you're not getting the energy back, like that's, for me, that's what was so hard about the pandemic, because like I had a really loyal, like subscriber base online who financially kept me afloat and like kept me from feeling like I was completely like disappearing. Yeah. But just the reaction of like not having people in the room to give you that energetic feedback, you realize how hard it is.
Like, absolutely.
Like the energy of the crowd is like a huge part of the show.
It is a huge, it's a massive part of the show. And you know, and I know it's like there's putting out the records, but then there's the connection with the people. And that's huge. So do you feel like, I mean, a different artist since 2020? Like, do you feel that way? I do.
It's like always evolving for me. Yeah. Especially, and I also feel like quitting drinking really changed how I am on the road. And I don't know if you feel this way too, but like, for me, like, there's a huge amount of anxiety that goes into like being out and being social. Like, being on stage, I always feel safe. I feel like myself, but it's like being at the merch table and being at the bar and hanging with people and meeting the fans is the hardest part for me. So like choosing to do that without alcohol was like the big awakening for me of like, I need to be present at these shows. That's like, that was the big shift for me. And that happened in like 2022.
Okay, cool. Well, that is a massive shift. And it's like, I feel like that shift for me happened before I was like touring so much. Like I had toured some like it through my 20s, but I understand like the socialization part of it. Like since I've kind of been at it, I'm like, in one sense I last long in that, like, I'm almost better at talking with people I don't know just nonstop than like go and hang out with my bandmates after the show, go out somewhere. Like I'm done. I'm quiet. Like I need a lot of quiet refuge on the road. And sometimes I feel sad, like I'm a loser or something, because I can't just like go like hang with other musicians. But it's like I need that energy for the other shit. And like you said, when you're not drinking and partying and stuff, it's different. So it's not like you don't want to have a good time, but like,
you have to get that energy from within or from a Red Bull.
Totally. Yeah, or from a Red Bull or a good night's sleep or quiet time with a hotel TV. Like, whatever. Like, that shit's important to me. I'm sorry I'm cussing so much. Is that okay?
No, you're allowed. This is a podcast for adults.
Okay, I figured. But I'm like, I don't want to be tacky, but, you know.
Well, maybe kids listen. If kids are listening, sometimes grown-up songwriters really need to get something off their chest.
Sometimes we say the S word and the F word. Sorry.
Okay, I could talk to you truly all day about life and touring. I want to get into this new record forever. It is so good. And Streets are saying it's your most ambitious and best work yet. And I tend to agree.
Aww.
There's a few different angles I want to come at it with. But let's talk about the last track first.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of this album is about reconciling the turmoil of thoughts within with like being a person in the world. And so how are you getting out of your head lately? Like, do you have strategies for getting out of the thought cycle and into your body? Like, especially as it relates to like, I need to like be music Lily now. Like, let me get into my body.
Totally. Well, just that is such a tricky thing, but I think movement of any kind, like whether it's a walk or play guitar, it's just like transferring that manic energy from the cerebral part to the physical part. So literally it just takes any physical activity to like break, but it's really hard to remember that. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. I am a freaking ruminator, like mad. It's horrible. I'm like, I'll drive myself nuts, but I've gotten better. At least I can recognize it. Like, you can recognize, like, this is anxiety, and these spin outs and hypotheses you're like forming are like, they're, none of them have happened. So it's kind of absurd to like freak about that. Do you do that? Like, I do it all the time.
No, I'm completely, self-possessed. I never ruminate on tragedies past or future.
Yeah, of course. You don't dwell on anything, do you?
Definitely not. I definitely don't have like four records out contradicting that. The process behind making Forever sounds like it was a little bit different than how you've approached things in the past. You and Coley recorded songs one by one and then sent them off one by one to be mixed by Paul Q.
Yes.
So can you talk about that process? And was there ever a moment where you were like concerned about it being a cohesive album? Or did you just treat each song individually as like its own little project and trust that the final album would like have its own story to tell?
We definitely treated it like the last thing you said, just like that, like its own little project. And honestly, the first song, Hidden Day, was one I made separately. We didn't make that at our house. And my friend Scott Sachs, who lives in East Nashville, and you might know him. A lot of people know him around town.
I know his name. I don't know him personally.
We co-wrote that with no motive. We were just like, let's. I literally ran into him at a East Side Music Supply, and I'd never met him, and we talked, and he was like, let's write. And I was like, you know what? Like, his candor was so disarming. I was like, let's do it, you know? And I don't co-write that much. Like, but anyhow, we did that. I got the mix back from him, who he got his friend John DeBond to mix, who's like a guy from the Mars Volta. So we were like, rock and roll, like that's exciting. And then I took it to Coley, and I was like, he was like, dude, we can make more like this vibe sound and stuff here too. So we just treated every song was its own little world. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I knew Paul Q. I'd almost worked with him in the Trinity Lane era, but it just didn't work out. So I was like, let's hit him.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Paul Q and some of the influences that they might be hearing on this album that are kind of coming from his world.
Well, Paul's awesome. He co-produced Live Through This, which is one of my favorite records ever.
It's a perfect record.
It's incredible. He produced Radiohead's Creep. Mm-hmm. He's worked with a lot of cool rock bands. And his ear's amazing. And he's like not pretentious about it. He's really down to earth and cool. So
we love this.
Love him. Yeah.
Now, the first video that came out from this record was Shouldn't Be, right? That was the first single?
That was the
single?
First, yeah, that's the first.
It's single. Such a great video. Maybe we can link it on our Basic Folk socials. But there are basically like three women of different ages. One of them is definitely Lily. The other two might be Lily at different ages. Who are the ladies and what are they up to?
In real life? Or the video?
Both, I guess.
Okay. In the video, like, yeah, they're supposed to be me. Like, you know, it's like a loose narrative. So it's like they can be me or they can just be women in different points of life, too. Like, if you want to take it that way, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
In real life, the young woman is, her name's Miriam, and she's a drummer at the rock school.
Cool.
Really cool kid. Really cool. And her family is really sweet too. And I met her mom. So, mm-hmm. And then the older woman in it is Susie Monick, who's a musician who I've known a long time. And she's like a legend around town. So she's an amazing banjo player and she's amazing. So yeah. Yeah. Cool ladies.
Hell yeah. What is the significance for you in your life of a great rock t-shirt? Because there's a really great rock t-shirt in the video and I've seen you wear many a great, like, band t-shirt.
Cool. I'm glad you feel that way. But I've seen you wear some really cool shirts, too. Like, for instance,
I try.
I feel like the one you have on is a really good example of kind of like a perfect rock t-shirt.
It's so good.
It's so
good. Because Becca hand-ironed these, like, at her house.
Well, that's amazing. I love when things just have the title.
Mm-hmm.
And black t-shirts are awesome. Everybody looks cool in them.
Like, kind of timeless, ageless.
Exactly.
A black band t-shirt really lets the world know, like, who you are.
It does. And it's like, they're always going to look cool. So I'd say, yeah, that.
Let's talk about the song Man. What's the story behind that tune?
Okay. Well, I wrote Man I wrote that in 2021. And I wrote that just that's probably the oldest song on Forever. So, and I didn't even know if I want to include it, but I played it for Coley. He was like, you have to put this one on there. Yeah. I love this song. Well,
what was your hesitation behind including it?
I don't know, really. I had a lot of songs from the past few years that I was just like, I don't know. Are these any good? You know what I mean? Like, just all that kind of thing where it's like, I wish there was a more interesting story. I did write that, like, you know, the demos I made of that era are kind of special to me because I was kind of just starting to get into weirdness. Like I had this memory boy pedal and they got used on lately some, but it made some funky sounds and I made some kind of like ambient sounding demos. So Man was one of the first ones of those. So.
And in a related question, what is your relationship like with the countryside of Music City? Because you are a longtime Nashvillian. And I know for a lot of the like alternative artists here, like it can be tricky to like have pedal steel on a record, but want to make it clear that you're not a country artist and like have maybe one foot in that door and have friends in that world. Like, where are you at with being neighbors with country music?
You know, I'm just like, I mean, I have so much respect for country music. Like, I know a lot of people that are like, in that world. For instance, my in-laws, both of Coley's parents are like, they've toured with a lot of country music acts and they're like in the country music world, you know, and it's a bit different from, I'd say I'm been a little more involved in the folky side of that world,
yeah,
which is like the Americana songwriter and that my dad, same with him, you know, it's like, but man, like I do think some of the best musicians I've ever seen are in the country music world. They can play anything and everything. And like it rocks and they play fast. I love Lainey Wilson's new record. I think there's some.
Obsessed. I'm obsessed with Lainey Wilson.
I think there's some.
She is the future, I think.
I'm glad to hear you like her. I think she's really cool. Yeah. I think there are some great acts. As a songwriter myself, I've always kind of understood that I'm not quite that kind of country artist, yeah. But not, I mean, if I was that, I'd be it, you know, but
yeah.
If that being said, I have a few songs and I don't know if you feel this way about any of your stuff, but I have some where I'm like, I think this could be on country radio, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this kind of country tune. So who, you know,
when I got started, I was naive, but like, I actually thought I was a country artist.
Okay.
But then I quickly learned, because I write my songs often in a very country mode.
You got a country side for sure.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I quickly learned that country music is way more about identity politics than aesthetics. Like you can release a straight up country record, but if you're not a white guy, they literally will not call you a country artist. Like I put this song on my last record, The Heartbreak Store. It is literally a country song.
I know that song. I love that song.
Yeah. It is the a music country video song. Is line dancing. And all the reviews were like, a folk ballad. I'm like,
you're like, people, this is a country song.
The mental gymnastics people will go around to not call you a country artist. Like, it just shows how all these categories are made up. And like, we get to decide as artists, I think, to what extent we even want to engage. That's, I think, the stance that makes it fun. Otherwise, it starts to feel just like, ooh, I'm being kept out of a neighborhood, you know?
You know, it's really interesting to hear you say that and your experience with it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, it is what your music is what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, if it's this, it's this, you know? It's like, and how people...
And because you get to decide what the influences are, because like a song like Man... On your record, like to me, it sounds like, oh, that's kind of a country song in the midst of an alternative rock record. And knowing that you have roots here in Nashville and knowing that you like are adjacent to that community, like that's not a contradiction for me. But for a lot of people, like they want to know, is it a rock song? Is it a folk song? Is it a country song? But like, I try not to get too fussed about those things.
I feel you. And you know what? It's like, I've always thought that was kind of funny, like how hung up people get on genres of things, you know, like it's like music is music. Like, you know, it should be, it's going to go where it's going to go. Like nobody is kept out of this. You know what I mean? Like it's for everybody. So But, you know, there have been times in my life where I like really strongly didn't want to identify my music with country mm-hmm. because I felt like when people said that about it, it misrepresented what I did. And now I'm like, whatever, you know, like,
right. I call it what you want as long as you're listening.
But, you know, that whole idea of like this genre means this is mm-hmm. so silly to me, you know?
Who are some of the biggest influences for you sonically on this new record, Forever?
That's a good question. You know, it's like, it's funny because a lot of records past I've been like, oh, I've been going hard on this or this. But honestly, I think this time around, I mean, I listen to a ton of stuff. I don't know. Do you listen to stuff all the time? Because I'm always like going with music. Like
my habits get really weird. Like sometimes I'm very broad and I'm into music discovery. And then other times I literally am just listening to the same playlist over and over. Right now I've been deep into my like running playlist, like Megan Thee Stallion, Ariana Grande, Glorilla. It's mostly just like female pop and rap artists.
I love that.
Are in my rotation.
That's awesome. And there's been a lot of good pop and rap lately.
Like, oh my God. It's such a great time to be a, like a hip hop fan.
That's awesome. I'm always trying to like learn more about what's going on, and it's fun to like pick an avenue and explore it, you know,
and then go all
like,
the way down
and go down and then see what your friends are listening to. But I need to check out Glorilla because I've not
heard. She's so great. She's from Memphis. She's amazing. What's that song? It's 7 p.m. Friday. It's 95 degrees. I'm not going to do the rest of the lyrics because it will be a little bit bleeped on Basic Folk, but
okay,
I'll send you a playlist.
Okay, I'm gonna check her out for sure. That's awesome. Well, influence wise for this, I mean, gosh, I wish I could remember, like, and that's the thing about streaming too. It's like my, if I looked right now, oh yeah, I'm recording this. Okay, good. Yeah, I'm like, oh my God. But, you know, there's always, I can't even think. I think I just wanted to make, like, honestly.
What are you listening to now?
Well, what I'm listening to now, I've got all kinds, you know, it's like, there's an REM record. Maggie Rose, she's cool.
Oh, she's great.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, because we were watching a movie, and I was like, you know what? I've not listened to enough Earth, Wind, and Fire, and this is crazy cool. Like,
my dad's favorite band.
Okay, cool.
I grew up on a lot of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
So do you know the record I Am? Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Double Fantasy. I'm a big Johnny Yoko fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never listened to that, and Coley was like, you should check that out. But, yeah, I think for that last record, I had been listening to that Blonde Shell record a lot.
Mm-hmm. I love Blonde Shell, yeah.
She's cool. But more, I was just thinking in my mind, like, simple, sing-songy things. Like, easy stuff. You know, don't overthink the melody or the poetry of it too much. So, just
keeping things simple.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you moved out of the city of Nashville, yes?
Yes.
Tell me about where you're living now and like, do you feel like it's shifted your lifestyle being out of this like urban, fast paced, small town environment that is Nashville?
It truly has. And we're not even that far. Like I'm like 15 minutes out of East Nashville. So it's not like, oh, we're still in Davidson County, you know, but like we live just a little north of town and it's different. Like where the neighborhood, the last few neighborhoods I've been able to walk around the city, basically, you know, one way or another, not downtown, but like the east side. So that was cool. I feel like a lot of us musicians and creative types are empaths of some sort. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when you're around, you pick up on the energy or you're around. So I have noticed since I'm out here, like sometimes I'll just like be like staring at a wall for a little too long, like thinking something. And I'm like, come on now, like find something to like vibe off of. But it's a different kind of, I mean, it's pretty where we live. It's unfortunately people throw their dang trash all over the place, which annoys me. But there is a lot
of great.
Just go back. There's like a lot of gas stations with trash cans. I'm like, just go a few more blocks and throw it away. But that's a gripe. But other than that, it's pretty and quiet and like peaceful. So. Mm-hmm.
Are you looking forward to touring this record? How does it feel to like shift into that mode now?
I am very much looking forward to it. It will feel good because I've been in marketing mode for like 6 months. I'm like, you know, so it's like, it's great. I'm happy to do it. We'll do what we got to do. And I'm so glad people are willing to do it with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but the playing is a big payoff, you know, mm-hmm. so it'll be fun.
That's the good part. If this album is like a bit of a reintroduction for you to fans, what do you want longtime fans to take away from this record that maybe they haven't heard in a Lily Hyatt record before?
I just want them to feel like, I just honestly, like, you know, when you hear a record and you're like, cool, I want to like listen to that one more time because it's short. Like, I want it to be that sort of thing where it's like, I'll listen to that whole thing again, you know, like, because it was catchy and fun. That's what I hope. So.
Oh, just enjoyment?
Just enjoy it. Like, put it on and drive down the road. Like, I mean, of course, like, emotionally, yes, please pull whatever you need from it. But mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of my records past have been about, like, getting through stuff. And this one is, too. But it's also just, like, I want it to be sonically, like, just exciting, you know? So.
It really is. It is a record that makes you want to move. I was going to ask you, what is the ideal setting for people to listen to it? And I think it is a really good driving record because it is like a you want to tap the dashboard type of album.
Well, I'm glad you think that. And I love driving and cranking tunes. So yeah, like that's a good setting for it. You know, if you're cleaning your house, it's a good, you know what? I listen to Test Pressing and like cleaned and I'm like, you know, like having fun dusting. So
a clean the house record is a powerful thing for me.
So put it on and clean. Mm-hmm. You know, cleaning feels good. It's like it was made in a time of trying to get my shit together. So like, yeah, put it on and do something productive or just drive somewhere and listen.
If you had to recommend one like young artist to people listening, I know you've mentioned that you're a big fan of Olivia Rodrigo. Who do you think is like an artist people should be listening to be forward oriented in terms of songwriting?
Ooh, you know who I've been really into, and I don't know a lot about her, and she'll learn more. But I think that Remy Wolf is really cool.
Remy Wolf is really great,
and that's like the most. I have waves. I feel like of being really in touch, and then waves of being like, "What's going on?" So. Of course, I know there will be somebody else that I'm like, whoa, they're amazing. I like her style. It's like rock, pop, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's intimate and it's a little weird the way she writes. It's not just so like one way or another.
Okay, that is a great recommendation. Forever is a great record. I'm so happy to have talked with you about this album and I hope we get to check in again because... you're a really inspiring artist to watch, especially the way that you move and are in community here in Nashville.
Well, thank you, Lizzie. That means a ton for me. And I deeply admire you.
Thank you.
I think you're one of the coolest.
It's a love fest.
It's a love fest. So I see what you do and how you maneuver through things. And I really get inspired. So thanks.
Thank you so much. Everybody go out and buy Forever. It's a great record. Thank you, Lily Hyatt, for joining us on Basic Folk.
Thank you, Lizzie.
This episode was produced by Anthony Cabrera. Our music is composed by Dietrich Strauss. Basic Folk is a production of The Bluegrass Situation. You can find all of our episodes there. You can check us out on FolkAlley.com or Folk Alley's mobile app. Search for Basic Folk on the SiriusXM app. Check out our website, basicfolk.com, or you can find Basic Folk wherever you listen to your shows.
Send this episode to somebody in your life who is in the process of learning guitar. They are going to hear the hot licks on Lily Hyatt's album and be inspired to practice and rock out.
That's me. You did that for me, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Love you like a sis.
Oh. All right. Let's wrap this up. Go home. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. Bye.
Bye.